Ladies and gentlemen, sorry, I'm wearing a different hat for this one, and I'll be wearing a different one again in a few minutes' time. Just an update on where we've got to with our project. That's our first wave device, which was called the proof of concept device in Pegasus Bay about 2 years ago. That device doesn't exist any longer. Before I go on, the three main objectives of our program are to evaluate, adapt and commercialise wave energy technologies, and we actually originally came up with two designs, very different, and we've shelved one and are developing the other. We're looking at wave and structure hydrodynamic modelling and wave and energy analysis to develop the technology, which I'm going to show you in the next slide. So the design concept is that our device is a self-reacting floating point absorber device. It has a float at the top and a hull or spar which extends down into the water column. And position of the hull is semi-constrained. In other words, it's moored, but it's allowed to rise and fall with the tides, but not rise and fall with passing swells. And I'll come back to that point a little bit later on. The active float is excited by wave motions, causing a relative motion between the float and the hull, and work is done when this movement is opposed. So the device that you can see on the right-hand side is the next device that we're going to build, and on the right-hand side is some of the modelling work which you saw moving yesterday in Lan Lannock's presentation. Phase one of the project is now effectively complete. We built a proof of concept device at the end of 2006, and we had multiple short-term deployments up to 35 days each in Pegasus Bay, and some of you may remember it was in Evans Bay down by the airport here during June 2008 for World Environment Day. That device was operational until the end of 2008 when it broke its moorings, washed up on the beach, had a little bit of damage, and we decided to take it apart as a sort of forensic examination to see how the insides had behaved. In the meantime, a second device called the PSAF device, for reasons because it was funded by a fund called the Pre-Seed Accelerator Fund, which is an internal IRL fund. Was built. As you can see from the diagram on the left-hand side, it's roughly the same size. It is significantly different internally, although it looks similar. And one major difference you can probably recognise is that instead of having a float hinged on two articulating arms, it's now a wedge of cheese-shaped float, which just articulates about the apex of the wedge. And we made that change because we were getting side forces that were causing problems with the original device. Here's the PSAF device being deployed in November 2009 down in Littleton Harbour. It was in Pegasus Bay from, I think, about the 20th of November until the middle of February. It was recovered in the middle of February, and it's due to go back in the water today or tomorrow. Both of those devices were effectively quarter scale. They're about 5 or 6 metres top to bottom, 2 metres wide and about half a metre thick. Their power output is only 2 kilowatts peak, and they've been deployed, as I said, between 2006 and the present. And we will go on testing and modifying the PSAF device. But as you know, you will have heard yesterday, we won the second round of the Marine Energy Deployment Fund last year, and we won it to build this much larger scale device. It's nominally a half-scale device, but as you can see, physically it's bigger than that. And in terms of power generation, we jump from 2 kilowatts to 10 kilowatts because of the scaling that Tim Finnegan talked about yesterday. The device itself is 17 metres tall, 3.5 metres wide. In other words, the float is 3.5 metres wide and 1.5 metres deep. 1.5 of the metres of the device would stand out of the water if it was floating in flat, calm conditions. And ordinarily, it won't have a guy precariously standing on top of the one of the two towers. This one will be connected to the shore. The previous two devices have just dumped power back, dumped heat back into the into seawater. This next device will be connected to the shore, and we will be bringing power ashore. The device design is in progress at the moment, and we hope to award a contract for the building of the device in this quarter. So the other activity that we've been engaged in this year is, so far, the two devices that we've had. Here's the proof of concept device in Evans Bay. That's NIWA's head offices in the background, in June 2008. And here's the present device deployed in December last year. We were always locating those at the discretion of the harbour master. In other words, we didn't have consent. But because one of our contractual obligations is to collect 2 years of cumulative performance data in the next iteration, we do need a resource consent. So we're looking at deploying up to three of these devices, possibly the half-scale and quarter-scale devices in the same locations, with their mooring structures and the associated export cables. And we will need to occupy a coastal marine area for up to 5 years, and the areas that we've looked at are Taranaki, Wellington, and the Canterbury coast. The area that we will take up is actually relatively small. We're not looking for a commercial site. This is the area, this diamond shape. It's only 2 hectares, which is the size of 2 full-size rugby pitches, and although there'll be 5 locations, we're planning that there'll only be 3 devices at the most on site at any one time. The device spacing will be about 50 metres, and it's 50 metres to the marker buoys, which we will have to put in as a result of the Maritime New Zealand regulations. The site itself may be a navigation exclusion zone. We're still working through that. And the cable route, which I'll show you in a moment, will be an anchoring and fishing restriction zone. The site that we have progressed first is a site in Waitara, which is about 20 kilometres east of New Plymouth. And we chose that site because there is an outfall pipe, the Waitara outfall pipe, which runs about, 1.2 kilometres offshore. And we've negotiated with the New Plymouth District Council to run our export cable down that outfall pipe. It's actually in use, but we can run a cable down it, and it gives us 2 considerable benefits. One is we don't need a resource consent for any onshore activities, and secondly, there is no onshore evidence of the project because the cable will actually emerge at the Waitara pumping station, which is not a publicly accessible building, and the power that we generate will be used to heat, to power ventilation and fans or something. So we've been negotiating with the New Plymouth District Council. We've got agreement to put the device down that put the cable down that outfall pipe. And then, fortunately, another reason why we chose the location is the cable route is along the relict Waitara River channel. So in a fair bit of this area, there is volcanic boulders, but there is a relic. The Waitara River comes out through Waitara and runs offshore, and we can bury the cable, and we can allow the cable to self-bury in the relic Waitara River channel. And the site that we chose itself is 4.3 kilometres offshore, which is a considerable distance, but we have to be in a minimum of 25 metres water depth. Just by way of other things, it's 6.8 kilometres west of the Pohokura offshore platform, and it's a minimum of 25 metres water depth. We've already had discussions with the local fishing community, and we've moved the site slightly to avoid a reef that one of the fishermen claimed was his favourite spot. And I'm pleased to tell you, making the announcement for the first time here, that we have been granted a resource consent. It was granted last Monday by Taranaki Regional Council, and it's the first resource consent granted in New Zealand for a wave energy project. We will be installing up to 3 prototype devices and the associated telecommunications and power cables, We'll have power going out to the device and power coming back from the device. And we will occupy the coastal marine area for a minimum of 5 years, or that site for a minimum of 5 years. In terms of the timeline, I think we've made very good progress. The project began in the middle of 2004. It was first funded by the Foundation for Research, Science and Technology. We constructed the PSAF device. This is an early version of this device. The skeleton that you can see here is actually clothed in this picture, and you've seen the device deployed during 2007-2008. This is the fabrication of the PSAF device during 2008 and its deployment at the end of 2009. We have been granted a resource consent as of last week, and later this year we will construct the device and we hope to have it deployed early next year. We'll continue to develop devices with larger generating capacities. Obviously, a 20 kilowatt device isn't sufficient for commercial consideration. The devices won't be physically twice as big as the half-scale device. The key element is the added mass, and we will be looking to build devices that are not physically too much bigger than the ones that we already have, and they're likely to be built in arrays of 10 to 100 units. And if you've got any questions, I'm happy to answer them. Thank you very much.
Just wondering, have you issued looking for quotes to build, or have you gone past?
We're in the process of developing the requests for proposals. We haven't got as far as issuing them yet.
Just in terms of consenting, congratulations on getting that consent. Just interested to know, what issues came up during that process. Obviously, it's just for, say, up to 3 or 5 units. If you were going for 100, do you think it would be a bit of a different process? And what might you expect, having been through what you've just gone through?
Absolutely, there would be a difference. And I certainly sympathise and empathise with Anthony. But Anthony's project is a full-scale commercial project. Ours is intended only as an R&D deployment site. There is really no comparison. I'm not trying to suggest that there is. We specifically said in the consultation with the affected and interested parties that we were not a revenue-generating project, that we had no intention of developing that particular site as a commercial site because it's on the north side of the Taranaki Peninsula. Oddly, the swells run east to west there. They don't run towards the beach. They run from west to east. And we chose that site because it's a relatively sheltered site. If we were serious about wanting to generate large amounts of electricity, we would be on the other side of the Taranaki Peninsula. So in some ways, we quite obviously had a much, much easier ride than the Crest guys have had. And the issues that that were debated were issues similar to the issues Crest have had. We've been asked to provide information on Maui's dolphins, and we're in the process of doing that. We've been asked about anti-fouling paint. We've been asked about the benefits to the local community, and we're looking at ways of addressing that. But by and large, everybody has been very supportive, and we've not had any major issues. The consultation process only took 3 months, and we started at the end of January. So, but it is because it's a much smaller and non-commercial project, and it has no potential to be a commercial site in the future.